The views and opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of 55KRC, the talk station, and Clear Channel Worldwide.
Target acquisition confirmed.
You have a green light.
Locked and loaded.
It's trigger time.
Hello, that's right. It is trigger time. This is Joe Barrett, your host. Welcome to our Independence Day episode of Trigger Time with Joe Barrett. We're going to talk a lot about the NRA tonight, as we always do. Let me introduce our people here first. My wife, Amy, is with us.
Hi, everybody.
Scott's with us as well.
Good evening.
My sister and legal counsel is here with us, as always.
Hello, everyone.
We'll introduce our guest expert in a moment. A few announcements prior to that. I was reading something, and then my head exploded, and I went back and finished it after my reconstructive surgery. This psychotic person, Mayor Daley of Chicago, is just amazes me that this individual actually has achieved public office in a relatively big city. I mean, it blows me away. This guy walks around under the protection of armed escorts and openly denies the citizens of this city the exercise of their Second Amendment right. For 30-plus years, the most restrictive gun laws in America, and Chicago is among the most dangerous cities in the nation. Now, what does that tell you?
Right.
These are the kind of people that are trying to run this nation. I mean, this guy needs to be gotten out of office. He needs to be dug out like a splinter. I mean, he needs to be gotten out. And there are people that are working against this type of thing. A public official that stands there and thumbs his nose at the Supreme Court and our rights and just basically says, no, I don't care if it's your right. No. There is an organization that's working against it. And guess which one it is? It's the NRA. I tell you this every week, and every week you're going to hear it again. You've got to join the NRA. If you haven't joined the NRA, you need to join the NRA. It's imperative to our Second Amendment future. It's imperative. I cannot stress it enough. If you own a gun, don't own a gun. If you care about our rights, you have to join the NRA. It's absolutely imperative. I also wanted to mention that my friends over at Target World are having a special promotion on, the reason I wanted to get this out is because I'm a Glock fanatic. July 9th, 10th, and 11th, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, they're having their Glock promotion. All Glocks are going to be sold at the absolute lowest price that Glock will allow them to be sold at in this nation. So it's a great time if you haven't bought a Glock and you want to buy a Glock. And if you don't own one, you should. They're great guns. Go get one then. There will be a Glock representative on site. Several giveaways, including an actual Glock pistol they're going to give away. No purchase necessary for that. I found out that Target World is actually the largest commercial dealer of Glock pistols in the tri-state, and that's according to Glock. That's not something that they just say. It is absolutely the case. So great time to buy a Glock, and Glock's a great pistol to own. That's enough said there. We're going to talk more about Glocks. I'm hoping to have somebody on from Glock here as a guest expert. We're going to get into that subject. Tonight, we are joined by attorney and magistrate Stuart Newberry. He's with us. Mr. Newberry, thank you for joining us. Welcome to the show.
Good evening to you. Thank you for having me on. And good evening, Scott, Amy, and Tina.
And tell us, he doesn't like to talk about himself a lot. I've learned that in the last couple of minutes. give us a little bit about you. Just tell us a little bit about yourself, your interest in guns, et cetera. Give us a minute. List a little bit about you.
I guess my interest in firearms started with a lot of Americans, with my father, who taught me how to shoot fairly well when I was fairly young. And in the military, in the Marines to be exact, I had a lot of exposure to firearms. And when I got out of the Marine Corps, that interest in firearms continued, and I joined the NRA close to 30 years ago and developed an interest in teaching and instructing. And even when I was in law school, I was involved pretty heavily with the NRA, and now I am certified to become a training counselor.
Outstanding. So he's heavily into the NRA. This was the reason for our talk tonight. I mean, there's no better time to talk about the NRA than on Independence Day, in my opinion.
Right on.
Absolutely. For those of you who may want to ask a question about the NRA or the Second Amendment, 749-5500, 513-749-5500. If you want to join the show, you're welcome. We'll get your calls. Also, our website info, I don't give this out enough. I've been told throughout the week you need to give your website out more. So it's www.triggertimewithjoe.com, and you can email us at info@triggertimewithjoe.com. We really want your emails. We want to hear what you think about the show. We want to hear what you think about the potential topics for future shows. We want your feedback on shows we've done. And the podcasts are up. You should be able to listen to back shows now on our website, so do that. And on the topic of the NRA, now I'm a life member of the NRA, and I think everybody should join, but why don't we back up and talk about what is the NRA? Can you give us, I mean, because obviously not everybody knows, give us a little history background on the NRA, if you
All
could.
Right. The NRA is the acronym for the National Rifle Association, and it was founded in 1871 by a group of Civil War generals who, to their chagrin during that bloody and terrible war, discovered that American marksmen were indeed not like they were in the American Revolutionary War. And as a result of that, they decided that two things needed to happen. First of all, in a lot of the northern cities, there were already anti-concealed carry handgun laws going into effect.
Really?
Yes.
Not standard. And, I didn't know that.
The second reason was that as far as a fraternal and political arm, the Second Amendment was one that was very near and dear to these formers of the NRA, because they even then appreciated the importance of not only the armed citizen, but to have those rights as an armed citizen protected. And one of the things that I was commenting on before we went on the air was the fact that in my research over the past week, preparing a little bit for the show this evening, I discovered that the National Rifle Association was the very first civil rights organization ever formed. It predates the NAACP, and it also predates the ACLU, which I think is kind of interesting.
It has. That's very interesting.
The NRA, the NRA is involved in a lot of different activities, but first and foremost, it's there to protect the Second Amendment rights of each and every American. And it has grown in popularity, and it's kind of curious to me what a apparently monolithic structure it appears to be, but it has very many different departments ranging all the way from political action, the raising of money to help influence legislation, all the way up to and including its education departments. The education department is the one that I am most familiar with my background, but the NRA also trains police officers, believe it or not. It is the single largest trainer of police officers in the various academy through its programs. The NRA has been selected with just about every state that has concealed carry laws. It is NRA or police type instructors who are the ones certified to actually teach the courses.
Okay, so the NRA does more than we realize, obviously. I just learned. Now, I'm a life member of the NRA, and I'm also an NRA instructor. I didn't know some of that stuff. So the NRA is bigger than we actually realize and does a lot more. So this is going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to learn. If you'd like to join the show, 749-5500. We are due for our first break, so we'll be back in just a moment with more Trigger Time with Joe Barrett here on 55KRC, the talk station.
55.
Good time and celebrating the country.
This is my right.
Fireworks, different colors.
Some beer.
Celebrate the 4th of July.
Right given by God.
Light up a bunch of fireworks.
With some fireworks and a
grand finale. Lots of fireworks.
To live a free life.
Having a day off from work and just hanging out with my family and my friends.
Independence from England.
To live in free
celebrate freedom. 55 KRC, the talk station.
Thomas Jefferson once said, "No free man shall ever be precluded the use of arms." The decision to own a firearm isn't an easy one. What type should you buy? Where can you go for training? What are the laws governing carry and transport? And what role does the Second Amendment play in the lives of Americans? Listen in as we delve into this often controversial topic and separate fact from fallacy. Explore the right to bear arms and all that goes with it. Tune in Sunday nights at 7 for Trigger Time with Joe Barrett, right here on 55 KRC, the talk station.
Meet Sandy Molesky, owner of a new Buick Enclave.
We definitely were import buyers and thought we always probably would be. And I saw the Enclave and I said, gosh, I like that. Honey, do you like it? He goes, yeah, I guess it looks good, but you know, it's a Buick. So he drove it and he said, looked at me and said, yeah, you know what? It looks good. It looked nice. It felt nice. It felt luxurious. It's a great fit for a young family.
To hear more of Sandy's story and to learn more about Enclave, visit Buick.com and may the best car win.
Providing you with a wealth of information from the Coordinated Financial Planning Studios. This is 55 KRC, the talk station.
Okay, you're back with Trigger Time on 55 KRC, the talk station. If you'd like to join the show with a question or a comment, give us a call now at 513-749-5500.
Thank you, Amy. That's right. This is Trigger Time with Joe Barrett. Tonight, we are talking about the Second Amendment and the NRA. We are joined by guest expert attorney and magistrate Stuart Newberry. And when we went to break, we were talking about the history of the NRA. And you were moving along great there. Let's continue with that.
Just a couple more thoughts on it. And,
yeah,
and
absolutely.
I might dispute the term expert as applied to me.
Okay.
But in any event, as far as the history of the NRA, it is rich with American tradition, a lot of the values that hopefully have been unchanged since the forming of our great country. And as far as the Second Amendment itself goes, it has been established that it needs protection, and just like any of our other liberties. In 1975, for example, the NRA found it necessary to start the ILA, which is the Institute for Legislative Action, and that is their so-called propaganda arm. There's even a policy, a fundraising event that an organization within the NRA that is used to gather money for the NRA to promote its political agenda and programs. And it has an agenda, obviously.
Well, sure. Yeah.
The only other thing is that as far as the history of the NRA, it is always increased in the programs that it actually is offering, and that includes not only education as far as firearms, but also for sporting, hunting. It is intimately involved in those kinds of things. Those are not so much the kind of things I'm interested in, but certainly a lot of gun owners are, and anybody who has an interest in freedom, much less firearms, I think, would well be advised to at least check out the NRA.
Yeah, absolutely. And certainly something that we'll advocate, you know, on this show. It's we believe that it's an imperative thing. It's absolutely necessary. If you're interested at all in your civil rights, you'd better protect them. And these are the people, as I said last week, when you're not paying attention, they are. They're watching when you're not. And believe me, that is worth your time and effort to be a member. Trigger Time with Joe Barrett, info@triggertimewithjoe.com. If you'd like to email us, 513-749-5500. If you'd like to join the show, we're talking about the NRA tonight and the Second Amendment. So we've covered the history of the NRA. I know here's what I hear from a lot of NRA members that have let their membership lapse. They say, well, I signed up, and they send you so much mail. And I always tell them they do. I get that. They do. They send a lot of mail. But if the day ever came that our Second Amendment was gone, then that inconvenience would seem like such a small thing. And it really, I believe, it hinges on heavily on this group representing us, because believe me, there are people out there that want to take this right away from us. So tell us why. I think I know why, but tell us why. Why do we need the NRA? What is it? Why am I telling people to join?
The NRA is the single largest promoter of the Second Amendment. There are other organizations out there that do it, but like the Carly Simon song, Nobody Does It Better. Well, the NRA is exactly that, and they have not only the resources, but the people and the dedication to keep it going. And your point's well taken, by the way, about the deluge of solicitations that the NRA sends. And by the way, you can put a stop to that just by contacting the NRA and asking them not to. They could save more money that way.
Yeah, it'll save the postage in the paper, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I guess I'd rather get a bunch of mail from them than the other stuff that I get.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, and I subscribe to Air America. I haven't gotten much from them lately. But I also subscribe to a lot of the different political organizations, including the Brady bunch, because I'm interested to know what they're up to.
Well, yeah, absolutely. You know, that's a really good point, probably something that we all don't think about. I mean, what is the opposition up to? I mean, they're not all stupid enough to stand up here like this guy in Chicago and you know, make a complete ass of themselves and tell the whole world, you know, look at me. So they're up to things, and they know that we're not always watching. You know, so it is as easy as to sign up. That's a really good idea. We should know what the opposition's up to. And because believe me, they're not resting on their laurels. They're not sitting back and waiting to see what we're going to do. They're constantly moving. I mean, we've heard talk about bullet serialization and all sorts of things.
Micro stamping.
Yeah.
Whatever that is.
Yeah, Well, basically, here's the thing. If I can't get your guns, I'll get your ammo. You can have your guns. Carry your guns. You just won't be able to have ammunition for them. It's gone as far as even to environmental groups saying that we're going to try to slip something in to just simply overnight ban lead ammunition because it's bad for the environment. And then all at once one day we wake up, we weren't paying attention, and we didn't join the NRA, and somebody got something through that made our ammunition illegal to own. It could happen. It's happened in other countries where they've literally lost this right. And this is the group that's advocating for us and protecting it. And I like the fact that they keep people honest. They make them, I mean, they watch them. You know, if you say you vote this way, you'd better vote this way. And I don't know. I think there's not enough of that. So
the NRA does a very effective job, by the way, of grading each legislator. That includes senators and representatives, and even to the local level. And a lot of times I get into discussions, I won't say arguments, but discussions with people that may be pro or con gun, but it always comes down to, well, gee whiz, you know, why bother with all of these rights when we have legislators and senators to take care of these things? Well, that's just the point now, isn't it? You know, the people that come to Congress with an agenda, it should be to represent, I think, their constituents. And if they're not doing that, then maybe something should be done about those congressmen and senators.
Right. Yeah, and you and I may not know. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I have to be honest and say, when I check a candidate out before I vote for him, do I really follow his voting history throughout his entire career once he's won the election and everything? Probably not, like I should. So how do I know that he's doing what he said he was going to do? I mean, well, if somebody's not watching, right?
I think that's an excellent point. And the NRA does do a job, actually, of grading these people.
Yeah, to talk about the grading. It's they assign them a grade, right? Like
exactly.
An A, B. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I want to mention also is that it's gotten to the point. Maybe I'm just getting old and crotchety, but as far as single issue voting, it's gotten to the point with me right now where if they're anti-gun, I don't look much past anything else as far as their voting record. And I don't know about the wisdom of that as far as a voter, but I figure that the Second Amendment, it's number two for a reason.
Oh, absolutely. I agree. That's a good point.
And one of the things that really scared me, and by the way, I was just delighted about the decision in McDonald that came out last Monday. But one of the things that scared me when I was reading the dissent to that decision, and lawyers, you know, we feel like we get as much information from the dissents as we do the opinions. But in the dissent, and it was written by Justices John Paul Stevens and Stephen Breyer, not noted for being strong pro-gun people, joined by Ruth Bader Ginsburg, also a justice, and Justice Sonia Sotomayor, whatever the pronunciation is. Mm-hmm. But anyway, they, in their dissenting opinion, that was the four that voted in favor of the Chicago law being upheld. They suggested strongly that, guess what? Even though we're declaring the Second Amendment as a fundamental right, as far as a constitutional right that every American has, we'll be back. We're going to revisit it. And that really shook me, because one of the things that especially Justice Sotomayor, who spoke publicly at her confirmation hearings about a year ago, she was asked the question about Heller, which, as you know, was the District of Columbia law that banned handguns,
right,
that was overturned. She was asked on the record how she would approach Heller if that issue came up before her again. You know what she said? It is settled law. That was her answer. Now,
amazing.
And yet, in a year later, settled law apparently is a euphemism for I'm going to do it according to my own agenda.
Yeah.
And by the way, I forget the name of the lady. What is her name? The one that is being interviewed right now?
Kagan.
Yes, Kagan. I'm sorry. This is an attorney, never a judge. She has absolutely no judicial experience whatsoever. As far as I can tell, she's never even practiced law. I think she was a wonk for the Clinton administration. She is, in her papers, we don't have any judicial decisions to go by because she's never been a judge, but in her papers that she's written, she's been anti-gun. And you know what the answer to the question she was asked when, how are you going to react with Heller and McDonald if those issues come before you?
Mm-hmm.
Her response was, it is settled law.
Oh, wow. Same. Yeah. We know what that means. That means that I'll say whatever I have to say to get through this particular interview, but believe me, when it comes before me, I'll do what I want to do. I mean, these people have an agenda, and that's, you know, there's no question about that. We're gonna break here in a second for the news, but the point of this is very clear. We know that sometimes people, it's just like a child, you know. Your kid will say anything to get what it wants. Once it's got it, you know, well, things tend to change. And that's what happens. And that's why this grading system the NRA has is so important for these people, so that we know not only what they said they're going to do, but what they actually follow through with. So, okay, we are going to take a short break for the news. If you'd like to join the show, 749-5500. Back in a moment with more Trigger Time with Joe Barrett here on 55 KRC, the talk station.
Back with Trigger Time on 55 KRC, the talk station. If you'd like to join the show with a question or a comment about the NRA, give us a call at 749-5500.
Thank you, Amy. That's right. This is Trigger Time with Joe Barrett. Guest expert tonight, Stuart Newberry, attorney and magistrate here in Hamilton County. We are talking about the NRA, and I said the Second Amendment, the NRA, but when you're talking about the NRA, you're talking about the Second Amendment. That's what it does. It is the Second Amendment. It protects it and ensures it. Before we went to break, and during break, you made a good point. The back on the grading system, you had another comment that you wanted to make. Go ahead.
I did, Joe. Thank you. The problem with the NRA grading system is that we just do legislators and we do senator or senator candidates. Supreme Court justices are not graded because they're supposed to, guess what, follow the law. And one of the concerns and why it is so darned important that we pick a proper Supreme Court justice, regardless of his or her background or anything else, or even their political bent, is that they're appointed for life. Yeah. You know, there is no judicial review of the Supreme Court. I mean, they are the law of the land. And we've already had four justices who have suggested that this fundamental right that was recognized in the Second Amendment is not inviolate. There's a double negative from a lawyer, but anyway. But but the point is that they're talking about coming back and revisiting it on the first possible opportunity. If the vote changes, we lose one vote on the Supreme Court, guess what? Suddenly we've created a nation and class of criminals who believe in the Second Amendment.
It's, you know, and here's the thing. When the Supreme Court decided that the a few years ago, when they decided that the Second Amendment does ensure the individual's right to keep and bear arms, and that it is not a militia issue, I was elated. But I understand that passed by a narrow margin. And then this one.
Also 5-4, by the way.
Yeah. And this one, again, we were all excited. We're very happy. But as I said before we started the show, this wasn't a slide into home base game-winning run. This thing's by no means over, is it?
It is not.
I mean, it's we are going to face this issue again, and we were very, very close this time. As you can see, there are people there that are definitely against this. They don't want this. There are people in office, clearly in this nation, in powerful places, that feel like we don't want you to have a gun. Now, it amazes me. It amazes me the logic. Okay, they would never argue that law enforcement doesn't need to be armed. Okay, law enforcement deals with the same animals that we as citizens will have to deal with, except they're supposed to be helping to step in between us and these assailants. But we also know that 99.9% of the time, you will face your animal alone. The law enforcement officer will show up armed to the teeth to take the report. But you will face your challenge will be you and this animal. You will face it alone. You will end it alone. There will be no law enforcement officer there. The police, and believe me, I know a lot of police officers, and they are sincere, good people. And you know what? I know it is not true that law enforcement is against armed citizens. I know police officers that tell me when I pull somebody over and I hear that they have a concealed weapon permit, I relax a little bit. I know certain things about this person. I know that they have had a recent background check. They are obviously a responsible person. As long as the person driving the car is the person that I just got a report on, actually, I'm at more at ease, not less at ease, because this person's armed. And law enforcement is not against us. Now, a lot of the police chiefs and the administrative types, and don't get me started on that, because some of these guys are mayor dailies, and like you wouldn't believe, they are just completely disconnected, out-of-touch individuals that haven't a clue. So, but your average law enforcement officer is not against us. They would recognize that, you know what, I'm going after the person that is attacking the people. I want a weapon. No one would argue that I don't need a weapon to face that person. My God, why would you argue that the woman that he's attacking would not need a weapon? It's amazing. These politicians stand under the protection of armed guards telling us, you don't need a gun. You don't need one. I need one. My armed guards need one. But you don't need one. Don't worry about it. Just go home. So it's imperative that we realize that this is a close race. I mean, we're by no means won. This is nowhere near over. We're going to face this again.
Well, I think we need to be vigilant.
Yeah, I mean, it's and constant vigilance. I mean, absolutely nonstop. You can't relax, not for a second, when you're in this kind of a race. Because once it's undone, it's undone. I mean, I know that this is speculation, and I know that, you know, at least my sister, the lawyer, doesn't like it whenever I ask her to speculate on things. But let's speculate for a minute. Let's say it had gone the other way. Let's say that it had missed one vote against our favor. What are the possible implications? What might have happened as a result of that?
Yeah, objection sustained, speculative. it would have really caused a dilemma, because then what parts of the Heller decision from a couple of years ago would have stood versus not only is it now under McDonald not a fundamental right, but is it even an individual right anymore? In other words, how far would that decision have gone to gut the Heller decision, which determined, as a matter of law, that Americans have a constitutional right to be armed individually.
Individually.
Yes, sir.
Okay. You saw what happened in Chicago, even though it came down on the side of gun rights. You see that in Chicago they continue to face, just a refusal to acknowledge their rights there. And that's winning. So imagine what it would have been in places like Chicago.
I guess you're right.
Where you get a little bit of fire under them. It would be like a place we don't want to live in.
It's the reality, really, that what I'm saying. I guess it could undo it all. I mean, a couple of decisions. I mean, when they decided, okay, it is an individual right, that was a big win, but it only by one. If that hadn't gone that way, we could have found ourselves in a nation where we obviously don't have the right to be armed then in that case.
And I don't even want to speculate on
that.
These what I call the horsey set people who the idea of even being exposed to a firearm is an anathema to them.
Right. Yeah.
And the promise that was made by the mayor of Chicago in the aftermath of the McDonald decision was that he is going to actively try to throw Byzantine bureaucratic obstacles that are going to create a real labyrinth of requirements, just as, guess what, the District of Columbia has done in the aftermath of the Heller decision.
And so in this way, the Supreme Court says, A, it's an individual right, and B, you know, we've got these two decisions, but then you have this politician, this public official that can deny us access to that.
Correct.
Through these other laws.
Correct.
He says, you can own a gun, fine, but if you take it out onto your porch, you're breaking the law. Even into an attached garage, you're breaking the law. I can allow, okay, I can't stop you. I can't stop you from owning it, but I can deny you access from that right.
Can I quote something?
Sure,
from,
please do.
This is from NRA Executive Vice President Wayne LaPierre. This, meaning the McDonald decision, is a landmark decision. The Second Amendment, as every citizen's constitutional right, is now a real part of American constitutional law. He's a little more optimistic than I am. It presently is for the moment. The NRA will work to ensure this constitutional victory is not transformed into a practical defeat by activist judges, defiant city councils, or cynical politicians.
That's which is what Daley's doing. And you know, the thing is, believe me, my entire family's heard me talk about Mayor Daley more than they could have ever thought that I would talk about the mayor of Chicago, because I wouldn't go to Chicago if they were giving away gold bricks. I just wouldn't. But the thing is, I've been talking about him for days, because it is amazing to me. This is not a Chicago problem. This is an American problem.
Isn't that the truth?
Absolutely it is. I mean, when a man in his position can stand there and say openly, fine. You can own your gun, but I will make certain that that right doesn't do you any good. I'll make certain that it does you no good.
And the problem is that it's under the veil of protecting people. It's sort of a strong stance against those who would do violence. And in reality, he is not. He's not arguing with the criminals. The criminals can care less. They've always had guns in Chicago. Chicago has no shortage of people shooting each other. Who he's arguing with are the people who want to follow the law, and that's it.
That's it.
The only person.
And why can't they see that? Why doesn't it matter to them that the only people they are trying to disarm are the ones that care about being legal and following the rules?
Well, he's standing there flanked by these parents of this deceased teen. Okay, their son was shot on a bus in Chicago. Okay, well, here's the thing, Mayor Daley made certain that the only gun on that bus that night would have been in the hands of a criminal. Okay, if you ask me, he was complicit in that man's death because the fact of the matter is he made sure that there couldn't be a legal gun on that bus. It, only a criminal could have had a gun that night. Yeah. Under 30 years of this kind of stupidity, it's become one of the most dangerous cities in Chicago, and he still continues to do what is proving not to work.
Chicago is one of the most dangerous cities in the United States.
What did I say? Yeah, it absolutely. Right. And the, what kills me is we will continue along this line. The criminals will simply not obey the law, so we will further restrict the law-abiding. That seems to be the logic. It makes no sense.
Joe, I wanted, I'm not big on statistics, especially since to do math I have to take shoes and socks off and all that. But, one of the things that was very telling to me was in a press release issued a while back by the NRA, 309 members of Congress joined in with the National Rifle Association's brief, friend of the court brief to the Supreme Court. 309 members of Congress from both chambers, 38 states' attorneys general, hundreds of state legislatures. And, you know, that's at least pretty telling that people like Daley, although they're in positions of authority, they are in the minority.
Yeah. And that, and thank God. But again, I think that, yeah, the fight's not over. And, I mean, yes, we've won some victories, but we've got to continue. And your NRA membership is fundamental to that future, the future of this Second Amendment right. So we are going to take a short break. If you'd like to join the show, 749-5500. Back in a moment with more Trigger Time with Joe Barrett here on 55KRC, the talk station.
Whatever your plans this 4th of July.
Ooh, the 4th of July.
Hanging out with a few friends.
It's a day off.
We'll be with you. In spirit.
Having a bunch of friends over.
Fireworks.
Sit around and watch the fireworks.
Getting together with friends and family.
We celebrate the freedoms we enjoy in the United States.
It's a celebration of our independence.
Barbecuing with my wife and my dog.
The 4th.
We're number one.
55KRC, the talk station.
Caring for an older loved one can be rewarding, but challenging. You have questions and worries. You hear about community services, but you're not sure where to turn. Make your first call to Council on Aging. They're your resource center. They can answer your questions and connect you with the right services to make this time less stressful, whether you're a senior, a caregiver, or someone with questions about aging. 513-721-1025, or you can check out all the resources on their website, www.help4seniors.org.
Thomas Jefferson once said, "No free man shall ever be precluded the use of arms." The decision to own a firearm isn't an easy one. What type should you buy? Where can you go for training? What are the laws governing carry and transport? And what role does the Second Amendment play in the lives of Americans? Listen in as we delve into this often controversial topic and separate fact from fallacy. Explore the right to bear arms and all that goes with it. Tune in Sunday nights at 7 for Trigger Time with Joe Barrett, right here on 55KRC, the talk station.
Sean Hannity, Hannitizing the Tri-State weekdays at 3 and at 55KRC.com.
Search Listen Live
from 55KRC, the talk station.
Okay, you're back with Trigger Time on 55KRC, the talk station.
Thank you, Amy. That's right. This is Trigger Time with Joe Barrett. We're talking about the NRA tonight. I did want to mention again to our listeners, I know that you hear me talk about Glock handguns a lot, and that's going to continue because I love that gun. I know it's ugly, but it's reliable, and it works every time. I just really advocate using something that's simple and works. You know, it's not complicated, and it works well. Target World, my friends at Target World are having a promo, a Glock promotion, July 9, 10, and 11th. That's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. All Glocks are going to be sold at the minimum that they can be sold, allowable by Glock. There'll be a Glock representative on hand. They're going to do several giveaways, including a Glock handgun they're going to give away, and that's no purchase necessary. Target World is the leading commercial dealer of Glock pistols in the tri-state. That's the whole three-state area, not just our little area of the tri-state. So absolutely, and that's something that Glock has reported. So absolutely, you should go there. Just really the tri-state's largest selection of firearm shooting supplies, ammunition. Ammo is something that gets in short supply quickly. So I'm telling you, if you don't have your ammo, you need to go to Target World and buy it. They also do a lot of other stuff. I mean, they do concealed carry training. They do firearm selection. They'll help you with that. What I like about it is they've got the shoot before you buy thing. You can go in there and rent several different guns, shoot them, try them out on the range, and then make an educated purchase. I really like that well. All the guys over there are great. The staff's just unbelievable. They're open 7 days a week, and they're open late so that you can get there, which is important for me. They can be found at targetworld.net. That's www.targetworld.net. You can call them at 513-772-3343. Now, we're talking to guest expert, even though he debates that, Attorney Magistrate Stuart Newberry. We do have a caller on the line that wants to make a statement about the NRA, so let's take that. Hi, Tom. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Hey, I'm going to make a very positive statement so we can get off of alert here. I know when I told him I'd make a statement. I want to tell you something, and I don't know if anybody identifies this, but, you know, a few years ago, I've lost my dad. He's gone now, but a few years ago, we were watching, and hopefully this isn't too sentimental for the crowd out there, but, you know, he was just, I mean, he was in a nursing home, and just, I tell you, he'd seen his country go through turmoil, and, you know, he was a military man. He had the right to bear, been given right to bear arms, you know, the responsibility to bear arms for us, to protect us, and he recognized the Second Amendment and how precious it was. But I just remember one day, one of his last words, we were sitting there watching TV, and he goes, "Son, I don't know what we're going to do. They're taking away our rights." And he just made a statement. He goes, "Thank God for the NRA."
Yeah, you know what? That's not.
I'll never forget it. He meant from his heart. That was the only hope he thought. You know, of course, he just thought that was the only. That was the best hope because he believed in the system and working through the system as we all need to. But I'll just never forget. That left an impression on me. And, you know, I am a gun owner, a CCW, carrier or whatever the word is. And, yeah, and I just appreciate you all. I didn't want to take up too much of your time.
Well, Tom, we really want to thank you for joining us. We appreciate that statement.
Yeah, you're the only, as far as I know, the NRA. And then, you know, of course, I'm sure you went over statistics in other countries. I mean, I think we always look like, why do these legislators and that, how can they be so narrow-minded and so on?
Mm-hmm.
I cannot help. I try to look at it in the simplest way I can. I think the agenda goes a lot deeper than just, hey, they don't like guns. I mean, if
dead
you look,
on, Tom.
Yeah.
You look at every point in history where this happens, it's because people have a concept of how they want to reshape.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no question that there's more to it than just they don't like guns. But Tom, I really want to thank you for the statement. We really appreciate that. And I think I'm starting to lose you. You're starting to break up a little bit. I think we actually did lose Tom. We want to thank you for that statement, and it isn't too sentimental. It absolutely, thank God for the NRA. If it weren't for the NRA, we wouldn't have a Second Amendment. I don't believe that we would have Second Amendment rights in this country today if it weren't for that organization. I just don't think we would.
Appreciate his dad's service.
Absolutely, we appreciate his dad's service. Right. And you know what? It's if that ever gets too sentimental, then we're in the wrong country. Absolutely.
Well, so, I think he knew there were two lawyers here, so.
Yeah, there's nothing less sentimental than two lawyers, except maybe three lawyers, I guess. Okay, the NRA we've covered a lot of ground. It is a lot of things. We've probably got, I don't know, probably 6 or 7 minutes left. So why don't we talk about some of the programs that are available at the NRA? I mean, the NRA does, I learned tonight. I learned tonight that the NRA is one of the biggest law enforcement trainers. I didn't know that. I didn't know the NRA did a lot of law enforcement training.
Each state has its own agencies that actually do the training, but it's one of those things, who trains the trainers.
Right.
And the NRA is very active in that. And on the civilian side, you were asking about programs that the NRA has. They actually have what they call different disciplines that are taught. All the way from basic pistol, which is the requirement for Ohio's concealed carry permit for civilians. There's pistol, that one, rifle, shotgun, home firearm safety. The home firearm safety one, by the way, is outstanding from a point of view for somebody who is not going to be handling a gun every day or even every month, but wants a firearm around for protection in the home. because if you have children, guess what? You need a course like that. They also have, if I didn't mention shotgun, I meant to, but there's also marksmanship programs that the NRA offers. And I mentioned, I think, before hunter safety programs. And one of the things the NRA really does, I think, a fabulous job with is training people to be instructors of these courses. It's not quite like the Marine Corps boot camp, I remember.
But, I'm sure it's not. It wasn't for me, I can tell you that, because I would never have made it if it had been.
But I went through a training counselor course back in early April and had some fine gentlemen and ladies teaching it, but I felt a little bit like the receiving barracks in San Diego when I got done with the 3 days with them. But they finally, as far as the final comments I wanted to make about the programs, it's 8 to 80. In fact, it's 5 to 80 as far as ages. We have the Eddie Eagle program, which is geared specifically for children. And, oh, my God, are we teaching children how to pick up firearms? Not at all. There's a little program. It's done with a caricature of a, I guess, a golden eagle, since he's all yellow. But the saying that is taught through a series of videos and brochures and the like, stop, don't touch, leave the area, tell an adult, you know. And by the time they get done, they're singing it. And the children need to learn about firearm safety, too.
It amazes me that now I got a feeling, I got a feeling that if I walked into the, because I know that if a child takes a photograph of a gun to school in a magazine, I think they bind them, gag them, and drag them off, and they either cattle prod them, they do the whole thing. So, and then they send the parents away to have their mind wiped because they've obviously abused this child by even letting it see a picture of a gun. Now that there's an inordinate amount of this of what I guess you just call it stupidity in the public education system. There's a lot of administrators that are not very bright people, and they've got funny ideas. I'm trying to imagine going to them and saying, there's this program for kids that the NRA puts on. It's about gun safety. I got a feeling. I got a feeling that if I walked in and said that I would have probably broken some weird law I didn't know existed because I said "gun kid" in school in a school zone, and now I've got to go to
They'd
prison.
Rub
for
garlic years. In your eyes and stab you in the heart. That's what they would do.
When a kid can't have a little green army man in his pocket.
Yeah, I mean, we've gotten. I understand zero tolerance. Believe me, you've never heard of a human being that's more zero tolerance than I am about things, but. But what about just plain stupidity? We absolutely have to educate the kids.
A very dear friend of mine, Sean Hauser, about 5 or 6 years ago out at Coney Island, Boy Scouts were out there, and I helped him with the Eddie Eagle program. Extremely successful. We were there for about 8 hours, and we played that videotape and handed out stuff for 8 hours. It was 2 and 3 deep sometimes with kids.
It's amazing that, to me that I mean a thing like this and you know we've got about 60 seconds left, so I'm just going to say this. We grew up around firearms, and they were not a mystery to me. I was taught that they are dangerous. I was taught that they can be deadly. Again, like anything else, I mean, my dad also taught me about high-speed grinders and don't put your – I mean, you know, these things weren't a mystery to me because I was shown them. The kind of programs that the NRA puts on, like Eddie Eagle, are how you expose people to things so that when they do encounter them, and your children are going to encounter a firearm at some time in their life – the question is, what are they going to do? If you haven't prepared them, then you don't know what they're going to do. But if you've taught them what to do, it's like teaching them first aid. Then they'll have a skill set, something they can do. We got 15 seconds left. Magistrate Newberry, I want to tell you it's been a pleasure having you on. I cannot thank you enough. It's been very informative. It was all too short, but I want to, again, thank you for being here.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to be here and talk about the NRA and the Second Amendment, two of my favorite things.
Absolutely. Thank you, and Amy, take it away.
Okay, that's it for another hour of Trigger Time with Joe Barrett. We'd like to encourage our listeners to responsibly exercise their Second Amendment rights by being armed whenever legal and joining the NRA. Please visit our website, www.triggertimewithjoe.com, and email questions and suggestions to info@triggertimewithjoe.com. Tune in next Sunday at 7 p.m. for another hour of Trigger Time here on 55KRC, the Talk Station.